God's word. Let us turn to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. When he is angry, the earth trembles. The nations cannot endure his wrath. And then let us turn to John chapter 17, 3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God is the true God. 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 He does not lie or change his mind. 1 Samuel 15:29 says, he does not lie or change his mind. In other versions, it says he does not lie nor repent, meaning he does not lie or change his mind. And it says that his words are true in 2 Samuel 7:28. So he does not lie nor change his mind, and his words are true. Our faith is to believe that there is no other true God besides our God. So believing that, acknowledging that he is the true God, which means that though people are deceiving, there is none like God, for he is the only true God. Believing that is what faith is. Our faith life is to not be deceived by lies, but hear and say true words, and further, becoming a faithful witness. The life of faith is not to be deceived by lies, to hear true words, say true words, and become a faithful witness. Proverbs 14:5 is what our faith life is. So today I will be speaking about the true God. The opposite of true is false. So when you think of the antonym or its opposite, it emphasizes all the more what the meaning of the word is. True and false, truth and lies are opposites, and there is a stark difference between the two. Sometimes man can tell, but the distinction may become more apparent with time. Humans have two ears, and there's a saying, in through one ear and out the other. So in through one ear and out the other. Meaning only one ear is helpful, which means people only hear what they want. They'll take in only what they want to hear, but filter out the rest and even say, oh, when did you say that? So what you hear is very, very important. You see this in little children. They're at home all day, and once they get a little older, they start to lie. It's really interesting. They don't play with friends yet. They're just home all day, but somehow they begin to lie, and we don't know who taught them or where they learned it from. But as the Bible says, we are children deserving of wrath. By nature, we are children of wrath. So by nature, even little kids start to lie. Like with a seed, when it begins to sprout, in the initial phases of its growth, you can't tell what it is, but once it blooms or develops, you know what plant it is. So also in school or at home, no matter how uneducated the family may be, they won't allow their children to lie. If they do, they'll scold them also in school. However, despite how bad lying is seen, it still happens, and instead, all the more cunningly with age. So you speak according to what you saw, what you heard, and what you learned. And that's because the God, the ruler of this world, is the father of lies, and lies happen everywhere. Life is about deceiving and being deceived. That is the cycle of the human life. Nowadays, there is a platform that really makes it easy to hear lies and makes misinformation easily accessible, and that's YouTube. You don't even have to go to school. You can listen to YouTube all day and you'll be educated to some extent. So they say a lot of professors in Korea studied in the US, so they're very educated. But what these professors are saying, are they all true? That's the problem. From young children to adults, they are all on YouTube and agree with things said online, but when it's said in church, they turn the other way. 2007 was when the iPhone was released, and starting from that point on, the world has drastically changed, and changing all the more as time passes, because this information that is thought to be beneficial is being absorbed, and we're absorbing this information at a rapid rate, and how much of that information out there are lies, false information. But what makes us accept this misinformation, be moved by it, and live by it is the ruler of this world. The Bible says that falsehood originated from our ancestor Adam. When Adam was in the Garden of Eden, God told him that he could eat anything in the garden for his flesh, but as he is Adam, as he is spirit, for his spirit to live, he must eat the word that comes from the mouth of God. And that word was a command to not eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or else he would surely die. However, also in the garden was the serpent, and the Bible describes the serpent as being very cunning and crafty. It says the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. So he was a pro at deceiving, and so he deceived the woman. He said, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God said, you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, or you will die. But the devil lied to her, telling her that she would not die. And as the woman was deceived, she ate the fruit, and Adam ate as well. So, as a result of the devil's lie about denying the word of God, deceiving them that what God said is a lie, because man was deceived, sin entered the spirit Adam. So all mankind after him became spiritually dead and destined to go to hell. So all men in Adam became liars. All men in Adam became liars, so lived a life of deceiving and being deceived. And that was their life. That was their fate. Depending on how well they lied, determined how much power and authority they held in the world. In America, they say the top professions that lie the most, there are three, and the top three are number one, politicians. So you can't trust them, whether it's the president, or they may be Christians, and you say, oh, they don't seem bad, I think I can trust them, but whether knowingly or unknowingly, they lie. And second is lawyers, and then third, pastors. This is a very serious matter. Why are pastors included in the list? I'll speak of this more later. Later, God called Abraham, and Abraham did as God instructed. He left his homeland, and then God appeared to him, and Abraham welcomed him very warmly. And then God promised Abraham that he would return to him the same time next year, and he and Sarah would have a son. Sarah was 89 and Abraham 99, so they were far past childbearing age. But Abraham, by faith, put an effort, Romans it says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. So he was able to give birth to a son. And whenever he saw his son Isaac, what was on his mind? How adorable his child is? What was on his mind? That God's word is not a lie, it's true. He indeed is the true God. He never once forgot that. But then when his son turned around 20, God told him to offer his son as a burnt sacrifice. At that, Abraham was not shaken, but he took his son to the mountain to offer him as a sacrifice and picked up his knife to kill him, because he was able to do that because he received the promise that he would be the father of many nations and that his seed would multiply. He believed in this promise, so he picked up the knife, and then right there God said, "Wow, you truly are God-fearing and believe that my words are true. Wow." So God provided a ram instead for the burnt offering and blessed him and his descendants. Abraham believed God was the true God who could not lie and only spoke true words. And Abraham's story was a sample of that faith. Now the descendants, Israel, were liberated from their slavery of 400 years. And this was done according to what was promised to Abraham. Genesis 15:13, it says that, "Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and then they would be liberated after that." And that was the great Exodus. So according to this promise, they were delivered, and the Israelites believed that God was the true God. The God of Israel was the true God. The God of Israel was the true God. Then God gave them the law, of which one said, "Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God." And also they were not to give false testimony against a fellow Israelite. So lying was considered such a grave sin. So even if lying may not seem as serious and grave a sin like murder, it was considered the same, because who is God? God is the true God, and he cannot lie. But because his people did not believe this and continued to deceive and be deceived, to lie, they were given this commandment and punished accordingly if they didn't keep it. Despite this, however, by nature, starting from their ancestor Adam, they like to hear and speak lies. So they were the children of lies. They did not want to listen to the words of Jehovah. Rather, they told the prophets not to speak truth. They said, "Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceit." So they requested the prophets to tell them smooth things and pleasant things, to say to them lies and not what is right. So the Israelites became a corrupt people. The prophets spoke false prophecies. The priests abused their powers. So from the people, prophets, and priests, there was corruption at all levels, and this led to their destruction. This is because they have been led astray by false gods, the gods of their ancestors followed. Because they have been led astray by false gods, the gods their ancestors followed. So as they committed the same sins as their ancestors, they were ultimately destroyed. A story that illustrates this well is that of King Ahab. King Ahab, he took a Gentile woman, Jezebel, as his queen. At that time, God did not allow for them to mix with Gentiles. But here, King Ahab, he took in a Gentile woman as his wife, and he also abused his power and did wicked things as he was deceived. God would punish him. So in the Bible, it describes how God handled those who were deceived and or deceiving. So let us read this. 1 Kings 22, verse 22. So this story illustrates how God handled those who were deceived and were deceiving. By what means, the Lord asked, I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all his prophets, he said. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. So now the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you. So the Lord has decreed disaster for this king. So the Lord called an angel and said, who will entice Ahab? And he put a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all the prophets. So he used a lying spirit to deceive Ahab. So when the angel appeared to so Ahab wanted to go to battle and asked the prophets if he would win, and the prophet who had the deceiving spirit lied to him, telling him that he would succeed for sure, that he would win the battle, where in fact death awaited him. And so in the battle he died. So as a Gentile woman deceived this king and he did not come to his senses, God, we see here that he would use a deceiving spirit, a lying spirit, to deceive Ahab to his death. Likewise for us today, if we have deceiving spirits, then we find its words pleasing to hear and we follow after them, ultimately to fall, to be destroyed, as we see in the story of Ahab. Then there was a prophecy that said that the one who hates lies, about the one who hates lies and loves the truth would come. It says, I hate and detest falsehood, but I love your law. I hate and detest falsehood, but I love your law. In other versions, it says, I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. So now such a person would come, and on that day, there was this prophecy. So when he comes, he will get rid of falsehood, such as these false prophets, that he would get rid of this falsehood from this land. And who was this referring to? Jesus Christ. So this was a prophecy about the coming of Jesus Christ. And the one who broadcasted this as if into a speaker was John the Baptist, who John the Baptist, he shouted to repent. The kingdom of heaven has come near. He said that you may think I am the Christ, I am the Messiah, but there is one greater than me, and you should listen to the one who comes after me. When they saw John the Baptist, they saw that he did not perform any signs, but it says, though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. So crowds followed him and they listened to him. And he said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. And so this is how John paved the way for Jesus to come and introduced the coming of Jesus. And then Jesus spoke about John in John chapter 5, verse 35 to 37. So John chapter 5, 35 to 37. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. So the testimony greater than that of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, his message was, you brood of vipers, repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near. But it says, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. So the testimony greater than that of John the Baptist is the works that the Father has given him. That these works that he would accomplish, these works that the Father gave him to do, and the work that he would fulfill, is greater than that of John the Baptist. And what was that? It was signs, wonders, miracles. The works that no man could do, but only God could do, Jesus Christ performed countless of them throughout his public ministry, such as healing the sick, the works that the Father has found him, given him to accomplish, and such works testify about him. So if you don't believe in the signs and wonders of Jesus, you don't believe in Jesus. You can't just believe in God as a God of love and grace, but also the works that he performed, which prove that the Father sent him. Amen. So why does he need this testimony? So why would Jesus need that? So why does Jesus need to prove himself to the people of Israel? Because they doubted him and suspected him to be just a man, perhaps someone who is greater than an average man, such as a prophet. But that's not it. Though John the Baptist never performed a sign, he said, I have performed many signs, and the works I have accomplished testify that my Father has sent me. Amen. Hallelujah. The only true God means he is the only one who speaks the truth, true words, that his words are true. The only God who speaks true words. So there are small g gods and spirits. There are a lot of spirits besides God, capital G God. So this universe has so many invisible spiritual beings and small g gods and angels. So when the devil was cast down into this universe, in Revelation chapter 12, it says that a third of the angels fell with him. So a third of the angels in the spiritual heaven also fell with him when the devil fell into this universe. So there are so many stars in the sky, and a third of the angels fell into this universe with the devil. When was that? So God created the universe to contain the devil and the fallen angels, and this world is filled with these evil spirits, these false gods that lie. These lying spirits are here. Though we cannot see them, just as oxygen fills this place, these evil spirits are also here. So Jesus Christ came and he spoke true words. He spoke the truth. But who will recognize that and understand? It was very difficult, which is why he needed to perform these signs and wonders throughout his public life, healing all kinds of sickness and casting out demons. He had to do that to show that he could perform works that no man could do and prove that he was the true God and spoke true words. So that is why before the temple he said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. What was in the temple? It contained the name of Jehovah. whose name? It was the name of the creator. But God chose the people of Israel and spoke only to the people of Israel. What words? What words? True words. He spoke these true words to the people of Israel. So the Israelites were the only people who heard true words at that time. So in the rest of the world, so many peoples and religions, all false, spreading false things, false gods, spreading lies. And into such a world, Jesus came to tell them true words, to tell them the truth. And that's why he told them to destroy the temple. So Jehovah is the God of Israel, the God of flesh, who gave the fleshly commandments. And if they kept the law well, then they would be blessed by having victory in war, healed of sicknesses, and delivered from earthquakes or famine. So all these things were for the flesh. So the people of Israel believed that if they obeyed the law, God would bless them and let them and protect their people and live in the land of Canaan, and that the true God would bless them in this way. Now Jesus came, the God himself came, that God came. The name Jehovah was not God himself, but it was the name that was delivered by angels. Angels who came and did work on behalf of God. But now it would no longer be through angels, but God himself came, and he himself would speak, and he himself would work. In the past, Jehovah worked through angels in the name of Jehovah, in Jehovah's name. But now, with Jesus' coming, who is he? John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. And so the Word in the beginning, verse 14, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. So Word, flesh, one and only Son. Repeat. Word, flesh, one and only Son. And we have to include one more. Word, God, flesh, one and only Son. So what God? He is the true God. And so the words he speaks are true. His words are true. So with the coming of Jesus, only the words he spoke are the truth. Besides that, anything that was spoken in the past, whether by angels or humans, or angels who came in the name of Jehovah, this era has come to an end. It's over. Now only the words spoken by Jesus Christ are the true words. But there are so many churches that still call on the name of Jehovah and speak about false things. It's all lies. There is no truth, no true words besides the words of Jesus Christ. And that is why he told them to destroy the temple, because he is the truth. No longer would it be the law of fleshly commandments, but it would be the truth, the law of truth, the words of truth. In John chapter 12, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life." So what Jesus spoke when he came was not his own accord, but they were the words already decided in the script that was from the beginning, and he came and spoke exactly as it was written without adding to or subtracting from it. So his words are true words, truth. So he explains this further in John chapter 7, 26. So today can seem a bit dry, but we need to learn the basics and be grounded in the basics. So verse 26, here he is speaking publicly and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? So at that time, the authorities, the religious leaders, they were confused at what Jesus was saying, and they resented him for saying such things. And then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." Jesus was telling them that he came from the Father, he came from God, and what he speaks are the words of the Father's. So these authorities could not tolerate this. Then in John chapter 8:14, verse 14, Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me." So this really infuriated them, and though Jesus said this, their ears were blocked. They were experts in the law and the words of Jehovah, so their ears were closed off to Jesus's words. All they thought about was to find fault with Jesus and accuse him, because Jesus kept saying that he and the Father are one, and that he speaks the words of the true God. So they could not accept him and wanted to find a way to accuse him and hand him over. So there was this instance when they came to him, after him, about the tax to Caesar. They said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And so tell us, then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" So they were saying that you are a man of integrity and you say true words, so then tell us what we should do. But Jesus knew their intent. Their evil intent, and he said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." So they brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" And they replied, "Caesar's." And what did he say? What did Jesus say? He said, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." To Caesar what is Caesar's, to God what is God's. So some might interpret this as Jesus being afraid of being handed over and answering in this way, but what he said was right. Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. To give back, hapatute, means to go back or put back to its original state. So what belonged to God? Since we came from God, we belong to him and must return to him. So this meant that our souls must return to God. What belongs to Caesar returns to Caesar, but as our spirits came from God, must return to God. So what Jesus said was right. It was as he is the Son sent by the true God, and he and his words are true. However, they could not tolerate Jesus. They couldn't accept him, and they were especially infuriated with Jesus saying that he and the Father are one, claiming himself to be one with God. So they captured him and handed him over to death. As Jesus died, what did he say? He said, "It is finished." And what did he finish? So why did he die? He died according to the law, according to what was said in the law. in the Old Testament, there were lambs that were sacrificed and died, and they were all referring to Jesus. He was pierced, he was crushed, he was punished, and that's how he was to die, and Jesus fulfilled what was already written. Hallelujah. So this is also to testify that what was written in the Old Testament was true. That's why we read the Old Testament. We still need to read the Old Testament. And in the past, there used to be these little booklets that contained a single chapter of the Bible, like Matthew, because paper wasn't readily available. And so there would be these little pamphlets, but that's not how it ought to be. We can't just read Matthew or just what Jesus said. The words of Jesus are truth because what is written in the Old Testament is about who Jesus is. That what's written in the Old Testament is also true, and it's about who Jesus is, what he would say, and what he would do. And Jesus fulfilled all of that, and that's why he said it is finished. And with his death, he judged the devil, the liar. He is described as the liar. And what was his sin? What was his sin? What sin did he commit? What was the lie he told? The serpent, the devil, lied to Adam and Eve. God told them that if they ate the fruit, they would surely die. But what did the serpent say? The serpent lied to them and said they would not die. So he said something completely opposite to what God said, and we don't know if, so they didn't know if that was a lie or not. But the moment that Jesus died on the cross, he said it is finished. He finished it all. Adam died. God told the first Adam that he would die if he ate the fruit, and the second Adam came to die, meaning Adam died. So the word that said that Adam would die in Genesis 3:7, Jesus fulfilled it to testify, to prove that it was true and not a lie. He proved that, and through this process, the devil was condemned. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you know more about the Bible, you realize how mechanical, how rational and logical it is, and you can't help but fall on your knees before it. It's so accurate to the point it brings shivers down your spine. Like a mechanical clock where all the parts are perfectly aligned to make it working, even more than that, the Bible is so accurate with these bits and pieces that line up and just make sense. And so accurate. And all this is for us to believe that the words of God are true. Amen. Also, with his death, he redeemed mankind. As the last Adam, he redeemed the first Adam. And those who receive his shed blood and believe, he gives life. Blood, life. The soul who receives this blood receives his name and has the right to become children of God and qualify to enter eternal life. So he completed this work and resurrected. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that the words he spoke were true. He said he would resurrect, and by doing so, he proved that his words were true. Then he ascended to heaven and is seated on the throne as the Lamb who bears the marks of being slain. He has the marks of the nails. Though he is the King of Kings who sits on the throne, he has the marks of the nails to testify that he fulfilled what he said he would. That I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. He testifies this with the marks that he bears. And he is the living God, the true God. Then a few days later, he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit who testifies, the Spirit of testimony. He testifies that Jesus Christ's words are true, that his words are true. The Holy Spirit testifies that Jesus Christ is the true God. Amen? Say amen if you believe that. Jesus Christ is the true God, and his words are the true words of the true living God. Say amen if you believe. And if so, you must hold on to this faith until the end. Say amen if you believe in the return of Jesus. So why is Jesus coming back? Why do you think so? Because he promised that he would return. And even if it's to prove his words are true, he will surely come back. For thousands of years, Jesus, as the true God, testified that all he did was true by resurrecting. So wouldn't he come back to prove that it's all true? He surely will. Amen. The problem is in 1 Timothy 4:1. I have seen so many people who said amen, amen, but also so many people who change. Why? In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Again, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. So it says, in later times, that before they may have been filled with the Spirit and believe that Jesus is the true God, his words are truth, and they believe in his death and resurrection, believed all of that. But then in later times, it says they will abandon their faith. Their faith won't be like how it used to be. Their first love won't be as it used to be. And more time passes, they fall away from faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. I said earlier that there are the fallen angels here, and they are by nature these lying spirits who try to snatch away with the devil. They try to snatch away those who have faith, and into their ears they keep telling lies through YouTube or other things out there, information out there, they deceive them into thinking they're all true. But by the laws and ways of the world, they say these lies, telling you you have to live, and these are the lies they speak, that you have to apply for insurance, health insurance, life insurance. That's what the world tells us. That's the information out there. The information on YouTube or other media tells us that we must become successful, that you have to make money, invest in this and or that, or eat this or that when you're sick. But and people think this information is the truth. So even if a professor says it, is it the truth or not? Why is it not the truth? Because it's not the words of Jesus. So even if Paul said it, wrote it, we have to have the discernment to take to know what is truth or not. So Timothy was suffering from a stomach ailment. And what did Paul say? He said, stop drinking only water and use a little wine. Is that the truth? Paul said this, but is this the truth? So many theologians do not accept female pastors because Paul said that women should not teach or speak in the church. And then you may ask, oh, he said something like that? Then is there something wrong? But Paul also told Timothy here that he should drink a little wine for his stomach illness. But if someone with stomach sickness came to Jesus, what would he say? He would say, lay hands on the sick and cast out demons in his name. And that's what Jesus would say. That's what he said. And what Jesus says is the truth. His words are true. But Paul told him to drink wine. And I think it's either because he wasn't spiritually filled at the time or because he felt so bad for Timothy, who was ill, that he told him to take the wine. So what Paul spoke is not, everything that Paul spoke is not the truth, because only what Jesus says is the truth, and what was spoken or done in Jesus' name is the truth, true words. So deceiving spirits, these fallen angels will feed off lies, and then there are demons that are the spirits of dead unbelievers. So when the spirit separates from the flesh after they die, after a person dies, and they're unbelievers, then they will become unclean spirits as their sins were not cleansed and forgiven. So demons, these unclean spirits, are filled with false information and knowledge that they've accumulated throughout their whole lifetime. And what they do after they die is lie. So it's a miracle that we're here and hearing these miraculous words. Jesus said that when he comes back, will he find faith? So those who believe that Jesus' words are the truth and keep it until the very end and think only of that, are there people who truly do that? And there won't be many. So who is a Christian? He is one who has the confession that he was deceived, who says that when I look back on my life, I see that I was deceived all the days of my life, being deceived. You have to acknowledge that. And then does someone say, oh no, I've never been deceived, I'm very smart. But such person receiving grace will be hard. But one who acknowledges that his whole life he was deceived. And then second, someone who only listens to the truth but does not act according to it, deceives himself. James 1:22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So if you listen to the truth but don't act according to it, you're deceiving yourself. You say amen, 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 and don't pray. You say amen, amen, but you don't evangelize. This is someone who deceives himself. If you deceive yourself, that's despair. It's enough to be deceived by someone else, but if you deceive yourself, you act as if you don't, that is really hopeless. So raise your hand if you know the truth but don't act according to it. Raise your hand. Oh, does everybody here act according to the truth? Now, that is deceiving yourself right here. So then what must you do? You must repent. Why do you repent? If you repent, the Lord is faithful and will forgive you. So if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:8. So you have to repent every day for knowing the truth but not living according to it, saying, I was deceived again. But if you deny that and deceive yourself, and you have no sense of guilt for such sin, then it's over. Third, it says, I have forgiven in the And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. 2 Corinthians 2:10 says this. So I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. So before the sun sets, we have to resolve these sins and conflicts we may have with a brother. Quickly, else you are slaves to the devil. And fourth, I will say only true words. I shall speak only the truth. From morning to evening, I will only say words that are true. Raise your hand if you're confident in doing that. So what about during work? You're trying to make a deal with a potential client and negotiate the price for a product, and you say, oh, the price is too high, I can't, I'll be in debt. But you're not going to be in debt. So that's a lie. You lie all the time and it just pops out. So the reason we have to be determined to not lie, because we are Christians, and I shall only speak the truth. Say only true words. How can you say only true things the whole day? You don't intentionally lie because you want to harm someone, but it just pops out of nowhere. And then when it does, what must you do then? You must repent and say, I lied again, saying when trying to sell my product, I told a customer to eat this and you'll be healthy. So you lied again. So you have to repent about that. I shall only speak the truth. What must you say to be speaking the truth? True words? Only speak about Jesus. What Jesus did and what he said is what the true words are. Amen. Hallelujah. So I know how we can grow in numbers here at our church. It's not like I don't know. Joel Osteen, he is a pastor with hundreds of thousands of members attending the church, blessing in and blessing out. This preaching about the prosperity gospel is what sounds sweet to the ears. It's deceiving. It's pleasant to hear, but when you talk about Jesus or the Bible, people don't like that. But I will still do it. Even if you don't listen, even if you don't want to listen, I will. Because what other time in my life can I only speak the truth? 100% these true words is only during this moment. This goes for evangelism as well. You meet someone and tell them, come to church. We have a lot of pretty ladies and you can get your visa. Yes, you may want to say these things so they come, but that's not right. Instead, you ought to pray that the Holy Spirit works and opens their ears to hear the truth and accept. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6:17. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Say amen if you have hope after believing in Jesus. What is the hope that we have? Our hope is to see the face of our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. And we hope to follow him, to go to the Father's house. Isn't that right? This is unchanging hope that we have. So we have to therefore know all the more, be sure about who God is, and believe for sure. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. So there are these two things that are impossible for God. There are two things that are impossible for God. First, that he does not change his promises and covenants. Does not change that. And second is that he cannot lie. God cannot lie. God does not change his will. Second, he cannot lie. So do you really believe that? Yes, because he is the true God, and those who believe and take hold of this hope are greatly encouraged. He gives us boldness. Because God does not change, he only says true things. To those who resolve to hear only true words, speak true words, and live like that, is he the true God who does not lie and change, so we can follow after him. Amen. Hallelujah. So I was a pretty straightforward person, and I thought I was pretty honest and didn't lie. So I considered myself to be honest or sincere. But as I started to truly mourn, it's been about a year. Every morning, every early morning, before the Father, God who is from the beginning, before the Redeemer from everlasting, before Jesus, before his eyes like flame of fire, I realized how much of a liar I was. And I regret, and I'm so embarrassed of that, and every morning I repent. Why do people lie? It may not be intentionally to deceive someone or cheat them, but people lie when they feel embarrassed or ashamed about something. And there were so many moments in my life. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. I have this seed of sin in me, and throughout your life you made many mistakes and have many regrets, and these moments of shame, it may not be intentional, but these lies just pop out and to cover up the shame. And I hadn't known how deceitful I was, and how much of a liar I was, and I thought I was a good person. And when I look back at my life, I'm just so regretful and so repentant that I've lied more than half of my life. And it just popped out in these moments of shame. I don't know where it came from, but it happened. And every morning I repent of every single little thing, but time has already passed and things have already gone. When I repent, I'll be forgiven, but I've many regrets. Now what must I do? I've lived my life lying, but the time I have remaining until my very last breath, I am determined to say only true words and speak only the truth about Jesus, what Jesus said, what Jesus did. When you reflect on yourselves and truly receive the spirit of repentance and of mourning, you'll know how many lies you made to your parents, to your friends, and truly confess that my Father, the Father of lies. But help me so that I won't ever lie again, but speak only true words, only the truth. Let us pray.